So this is September 17, 2013, the appearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Honolulu, Hawaii. Namo Bhaktivinodaya Satchidananda Namane Gora Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Namo Bhaktivinodaya Satchidananda Namane Gora Shakti Swarupaya
Bhakti Priti Malacha
go through this verse by verse. So, mama is my, mana is mind. Mandira is capital. So here we're in a physical temple made of bricks and drywall and electrical wires and not like that. But there can also be a temple in our mind. And in fact, you could say that that is the essence of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not ultimately some kind of ritual or a particular type of religion, as opposed to, you know, we have this sectarian religion and that sectarian religion. Krishna consciousness is a state of awareness. And the various processes that we follow are meant to invoke, sustain, and grow that state of consciousness. So in that state of consciousness, our heart, our mind, becomes a temple. In fact, we have this tilak marking that we wear, the significance of which is, my body is a temple. After all, just like this building, it's an ordinary building, but we have a sign out in the front, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is a temple. So people know when they come, it's a sacred space. So in the same way we put on tilak to denote, my body has now become a sacred space. My body is a temple. But then just putting up a sign isn't sufficient. One has to do something. It's not that we put up a sign and then inside the building we still engage in the ordinary activities that would be engaged in any building. So it's not that one puts on tilak and then one uses one's body however one wants, but one puts on tilak and then one factually uses one's body as a temple. Therefore, we're very careful what we eat, what we drink, what we say, what we do. And particularly, we create an altar in our mind. So just like in this building, the whole building is Panchatattva's temple. Every cubic inch of the property belongs to them. But we have a particular place where we're sitting here, which is the temple room. And even in the temple room, we have a particular place that is the altar. So although all of our body is Krishna's temple, and Krishna is certainly in every atom of our body, within every particle of the atom, but particularly in the mind, particularly in the consciousness, we want to create the altar. We want to create, this is our place where Krishna is sitting. So Raha Nisidin. Nisidin means day and night. All the time, 24 hours. Please stay here 24 hours. Just like here we've installed the deities, and the deities are here 24 hours. Now, there are some ceremonies where a deity is installed temporarily, certain kinds of Vedic rituals, where there's a temporary deity. You install the deity. Yes, 26. You install the deity and then you uninstall the deity. You ask the Lord to particularly manifest in some element and then you ask him to leave at the end of the ceremony. So there are deities like that. But we don't want our mind and our heart to be like that. And in many people who practice some sort of religion or some sort of spiritual practice, it's very much like that. Okay, here's my material life, and then I have a little slice of time. I always think of it like a pie. You know, one piece of pie is my family, one piece of pie is my career, one piece of pie is my hobby, one piece of the pie is my entertainment, my this, my that, and then one piece is my spirituality. So I have, you know, 15 minutes a day or 3-4 hours a day maybe, if you're really serious, or maybe, you know, a couple hours a week that I give to spiritual consciousness, and the rest of the time I'm in material consciousness. So that's not, in fact, I was looking for a way of life that wasn't like that. One of the main reasons that I joined the International Society for Krishna Consciousness was that I was looking for something that was Raha Nisidin, that was stay all day and night, that wasn't okay, I'm a materialist, and then I do a little spiritual practice here and there. That was the way I was raised. I think that was the way most people are raised on the planet, either you're not religious at all, you know, or you have your religion, maybe it's even just once a year. So maybe just, you know, Christmas or Christmas and Easter or something like that, or just on Saturdays or just on Fridays, or whatever it may be. And if your family was really religious, then maybe it was once a day, right? And that was the way I was brought up. I was brought up that religion is something you do, spirituality is something you do sometimes, and the rest of the time you do something else. And more in society, religion is something you do never. Now, God is just not relevant at all. But here Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Rahanasitin, you stay day and night. Please, Krishna, you stay day and night. Who's he talking to? Krishna Murari, Sri Krishna Murari. So to be very specific, one of the other wonderful things about the Hare Krishna movement, about Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we could say that about Vaishnavism in general, is there's not a very vague idea of God. So there may be other people who are saying, yes, we're going to be conscious of God 24 hours. And then you say, what's God? And they say, well, it's just a light and a force, and you can call it God if you want to, but you know, it's, you could call it Henry Beans if you want to also, you know, it doesn't matter what you call it, and it's just it, it's not a person. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not asking just for some vague force to be in his consciousness 24 hours. He's asking for Krishna, Krishna Murari. Ari means enemy of. Mura was a great demon who stole knowledge, who propounded ignorance. So Krishna, who spreads real transcendental knowledge. Sri Krishna Murari. Sri means opulence. It also means the internal energy. So Krishna, who's the master of the internal energy and the enemy of ignorance, that person, Krishna, you please stay in the temple of my mind day and night. So when you have a temple is supposed to, there's certain parameters for what makes a temple. It makes an altar, like the altar has to be very clean, yes? Usually we make an altar out of some precious material, like we may make it of marble. Sometimes the archway over the deities is made of gold, or at least it's, in some places it's gold plated, and some places it's at least gold leaf, or it's made out of some sort of precious wood and then gold leaf. So things are made out of some precious material, and then it's kept very, very clean. And we're also very particular about who can go on the altar. To go on the altar, you have to lead a very holy life and so forth. You have to be initiated into the proper mantras by a spiritual master. So when we say we have this temple in our mind, in our consciousness, this means making our heart a very, very clean place. Just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, he was cleaning out even the little dust and straws. Because you're asking God to stay there, and you're asking him to stay there all the time. Just like the way I was raised, now I travel all over the world, so I've noticed that not everyone was raised the way I was raised, but I was raised that when a guest comes, you clean the place for them. Yes? Were you all raised like that? You know, sometimes when I go, I stay in a place, and I'm not sure if the bedding's clean. I'll say, is this bedding clean? And they say, oh, yes, yes. And I look, and I'm saying, it doesn't look very clean. Right? There was one place I got to after a long journey, got there around midnight, and the room had no key to lock the door, and it was very hot. The only window opened right onto the street at street level, so anybody, if you had the window open at night so you could breathe, anybody could just like walk in. And I said, you know, I can't open the window. And they said, well, there's an AC here, you can turn on the air conditioning. And when I turned on the air conditioning, lots and lots of little pieces of black foam jumped out of the air conditioner and went all over the room. And the room was so dirty that anything I touched, my finger turned black, you know, my feet were turning black. And when I went to wash my hands in the bathroom, so there was only cold water and there was no shower. There was just like a spigot, you know, to fill up a bucket kind of thing. And then the floor didn't drain, so there was a big swimming pool on the floor of stagnant water, and etc. So some people don't have the foggiest notion, you know, and I don't think there was any pillow or towel in there either. So some people don't have any idea, you know, when you have a guest come, what you should do. How do you receive a guest? But if we're going to ask Krishna to come stay in our heart, of course he's already in our heart, Ishwara Shavavutanamudeshya, just to
But if we're having the mood here, please stay in my heart. Please manifest in my heart. Let me be aware of you in my heart. So we want to make our heart a very beautiful and clean place. You know, I've stayed, there's other places where I stay, one place in particular, one person's house that I stay in particular, where I always feel like I'm in, like, you know, a 10-star hotel, if there's such a thing. You know, they set up the guest room with an all clean bedding, everything's sparkling clean. But not only that, they have a basket of toiletries for me, which I never end up using. So I'm not asking for that because I don't use it anyway. But it's just kind of, it's a nice touch, you know. You go in there. Someone sent me a really funny photo the other day of this mother who was getting on her kid's place to clean the bathroom properly. And one day she said to him, "Why don't you clean it like the Queen of England is visiting?" You know, so not only did the kid clean the bathroom, but he put out tea bags and a little, you know. Let me do something to welcome the Queen of England. So we want to have our heart such that Krishna will want to stay there day and night, not that we're demanding stay there day and night. And in fact, Krishna may ask us, well, if I stay there, what will happen? What will I get if I stay? You know, someone invites you to their house, please come to my house and stay there forever. You might say, well, why? What are you going to do? What am I going to get? So we go on to the first verse. Bhakti Priti Mala Tanda. So mala is a garland. Mala can also sometimes mean necklace. Our japa beads are sometimes called a mala. But here it particularly means a necklace of flowers. And chandan, sandalwood. So traditionally in India, which is a very hot country, I mean, when it's cold in India, it's kind of like it is here. It gets very, very hot. And they use sandalwood as a cosmetic for cooling the body. So they'll put sandalwood on the forehead. They take this pieces of wood and has sandalwood oil in it. And they grind it up and then they use it as a decorative cosmetic. They put it on their forehead, they put it on their feet. So just like, you know, we might put some cooling oils on. So Mala Chandra, I will give you a garland, I will give you sandalwood. But I will not only give these, but bhakti priti. So priti means affection. So with devotion and with affection, you can have devotion without affection, huh? You can have devotion for some ulterior purpose. But here's with great feeling of affection. Prabhupada often uses the word affection in terms of our relationship with Krishna, that whatever relationship we have with Krishna, we should always have a feeling of great affection for him. And this word affection is also quite interesting in terms of one particular pastime of the Lord. This pastime is the last one that Srila Prabhupada translated while he was still in our physical presence. Does anyone know what that is? Anyone know what the last... Yes? Yes, Lord Brahma stealing the cows and the boys. So Prabhupada, of course, he'd already translated this pastime in Krishna book. But as far as translating it from the Bhagavatam verse by verse, the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada translated was chapter 13, which is this particular pastime. Chapter 14 is Brahma's prayers. So in chapter 13, what happens is Brahma steals the boys and cows, and then when he comes back after one of his moments, which is equal to one of our years, he sees that the boys that he put into mystic sleep in a cave are now manifested as God. Every single boy, every single calf, is fully the Lord, is fully Vishnu. He's seen that Krishna has expanded himself into thousands and thousands and thousands of Vishnus. And each of these Vishnus is being worshipped by the whole creation. Now there's one particular verse there where it says that Vishnu was looking at all living entities, each of these thousands of Vishnus were looking at all living entities with affection. And that this glance of affection was inciting desires of reciprocating love in the living entities. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the origin of passion is affection. That what shows up in this material world as passion has its original form in the spiritual world as affection. If we would like to conquer passion, it's not going to work to try to kill it. Rather, we want to turn it back into its original form. This concept of turning things back into their original form rather than killing them is one of the essential aspects of the Krishna conscious philosophy. So if we ever struggle with passion, so passion, of course, means inappropriate sexual desires, as well as just desires to be the Lord and Master of the world, to feel that I own the world and I'm going to manage the world as I please. So instead of that, one should have affection for all other living entities and for even the material nature. So here Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, you should come to my heart because my heart is filled with this affection for you, my dear Lord. My heart is filled with devotion for you. And with this devotion and affection, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you a garland. There's a paper there. I'm going to give you a garland, and I'm going to give you sandalwood pulp. So, Tuminiyo Enyo Chitinanda, you please accept these things. So this means they're already prepared. As I was saying, if you're going to have a guest coming, generally before the guest comes, you prepare the place. You have everything ready for you. So here in my heart, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, I've already prepared for you a garland of flowers. So if we can just meditate for a moment, these songs are meant for our meditation so that we can enter into the same mood as the acharyas and follow in their footsteps. So I'd like us to meditate for a moment that you've made a room in your heart. You've made an altar in your heart, and there's no one sitting on it right now. You're inviting Krishna to come, and there you've made a garland. And what kind of garland will you make? So why don't we pick some of our favorite flowers or some flowers you know Krishna really likes. And there you can have a garland of those flowers. I mean, I have certain flowers that I particularly like. When I was in Durban, they had so many fragrant flowers planted there, Kadamba and Lang Lang. And have this garland of flowers waiting, and then you have a sandalwood pulp waiting, and you can imagine yourself having created these with devotion, and you're asking Krishna to come. And here it says, Chitta Nandan. Chitta again means the mind or the heart. So you are the delighter of the heart. You are delighting my heart. So we've invited now, we're inviting Krishna, you please come. Raha Nisidim. Do note in the refrain this word Raha, because this will come into play later on. Raha Nisidim, you please come 24 hours, and here I have this garland, and I have this sandalwood pulp that I've made, and I'm offering with affection and with love. And you are the delighter of my heart. You bring delight to my heart. Chittananda. Prabhupada says that Krishna is very pleased when he sees that we become happy in his service. So people ask all the time, should I feel happiness in my service? The answer is yes. Just like, again, if you invite someone to stay, you say, well, you know, when you, I'm getting your room ready for you, but I don't like it, you know, and I don't really like it when you come. Why would you want to go to their house? But if someone says to you, well, it's so delightful for me whenever you come and visit, then you're going to want to come. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying to Krishna, you delight my heart. You fill up my heart with happiness. Therefore, please come. But Krishna may still ask, well, so many people can say that they have affection, they have devotion, and you know, so many people can pick flowers, patram pushpam palam toyam. These are very, relatively speaking, easy things to gather some flowers, some sandalwood, a little bit of affection. Why should I come? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes on, jivana marana. So this is a recurring theme in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs and in the prayers of the acharyas in general. That life or death, jivana means life, marana means death. That I'm going to worship you in life or in death. Not just that I'm asking you to come 24 hours, but I'm there for you 24 hours. I'm there for you in life or in death. Whatever happens, I still love you. You know, the materialists sing love songs like this. They sing love songs that I'm there for you in life or in death, I'm there for you whatever happens, but they never mean that, do they? A materialistic person doesn't mean that. I'm there for you in life or in death, and then there's some little problem and they're gone. Or their love is gone. You know, they're not talking to you today or something. Yes? It doesn't even have to be much for people's love to become cold. You know, you said you'd take me out to the movies and said you're just watching your football game. Well, I'm not going to talk to you. You know, it can be a very minor thing. And the feelings of affection are gone. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura is saying, no, jivana marana, whatever, even in death, even if there's the greatest catastrophe, what's a greater catastrophe than death? Even if there's the most horrible things, still, tava puja nivedan, tava is your, puja is worship, nivedan prayers. So no matter what happens, I am engaged in your worship and I'm engaged in offering prayers. Just like when we become a disciple, we take a vow every day, minimum 16 rounds. We do not take a vow, if I feel like it, 16 rounds. If the sun is shining, 16 rounds. If I have enough time, 16 rounds. We don't take a vow like that. We don't say, well, you know, I'll do everything else first, and if I have time left over and I feel like it. I hear many people saying this sort of thing. Well, I only want to chant if I feel like it. I only want to chant if it's coming from the heart. You know, if I'm in the mood, then I'll chant. But wait a minute, you're asking Krishna to stay 24 hours. Then you got to be there 24 hours. But just like the difference, and this is not going to be very popular. This isn't going to be very popular nowadays. But the difference between, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, and getting married. Why is there marriage? Marriage says, I'm staying in life or in death. Like we do weddings all the time, right? Do they still say those vows, or has that become passé?
I take it out.
You take it out?
Yeah, just, well...
Because you know they're not going to do it.
They talk about the soul being eternal.
Uh-huh.
And so even if someone, if you love someone... Even if they leave within this life, you still feel affection in some kind of
way. I see, okay. Interesting. But you know, when I was young, that was the wedding vow. For better or for worse, in sickness or in health, richer or poorer. And there was no guarantee. Maybe, you know, an hour after the wedding would be worse, sickness, and poor. Right? You don't know. And the idea is, I'm sticking with you until death do us part. You know, whether it's richer or poorer, sickness or health, better or worse. And without that, there's not really much of a meaning to love. It doesn't mean much if it's, you know, I love you as long as it's convenient for me and as long as it titillates me. And if it doesn't, I'm out of here. That's not love. That's something quite different. So if we're going to talk about love of God, we're going to talk about love of God, then we make this kind of commitment. Therefore, we say... for many reasons, but this is certainly one of them, that initiation is very important. Rupa Goswami gives initiation as one of the three most important things that one must do if one's going to practice bhakti yoga. That one has to find a guru, one has to serve that guru, and one has to take initiation from that guru. One has to make a commitment. One has to make a commitment. Ultimately, we're making a commitment to Krishna. We're saying, I'm going to be here. And I remember when I... Again, first joined the Hare Krishna movement, one devotee saying to me, you have to stay in the boat. She said, there's going to be storms, you may get seasick, but you stay in the boat. So that is a measure of commitment, jivane marane. When everything's going well, when everything's not going well. Tava puja nivedan, I'm going to do your worship and I'm going to offer prayers. If you give everything to me, Lord, I'm going to offer you praise. And if you take everything away from me, I'm going to offer you praise. You know, and there's this concept, again, in all the great religions of the world. God gives, God takes away, blessed be the holy name of the Lord. So whether Krishna is giving us something, whether Krishna is taking something away from us, whether our life is easy, whether our life is hard, whether other people are treating us nicely, whether other people are not treating us nicely, this is what we're saying to Krishna. Krishna, you please stay in my heart, and I am there for you in all conditions. Sundarahe manahari. Mana again, mind. Hari means who takes away. You've stolen my mind. You've divided my mind, and you've stolen my mind. My mind is absorbed in you. Sundara, the most beautiful. So here we see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying not in some official way and not even in a very awe and reverence way. So we work with in London some schools where we're teaching about Krishna consciousness, but the people who run the schools are not full-on devotees of Krishna. And one of them just contacted me and asked, how can I explain Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastika prayers to teachers and students who are not devotees of Krishna? So it was really interesting. He had put together an analysis of his own and asked several of us educators to review it. And on the verse that says, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly while I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up? And when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? He had given an explanation that our students should be filled with awe and wonder. Should always be filled in their studies with awe and wonder of God. And I thought, well, that's really interesting, because in Krishna consciousness, we want to go beyond awe and wonder to a more intimate kind of love of God. You know, and this particular person, not really being schooled in bhakti, wasn't quite able to get that. So I found that quite interesting. And here you see the intimacy of love that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has. Chitta Nandan, you're delighting my heart. Not, oh dear Lord, I'm looking at you and going, so wonderful. Right? Ramano hi purtista ham amrita sevayastacha. Not just the Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable, eternal, and the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. Oh Lord, you're immortal, imperishable, eternal, and the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. All glories unto you. No, you're the delighter of my heart, you're the thief of my heart, and you're the most beautiful. You are the most beautiful. When I decided to move into the ashram, but hadn't yet done so because I was still underage, my mother sent somebody to convince me not to become a devotee. So he was a religious leader in her own tradition. And one of the main things I was arguing with him about, I said, but God is the most beautiful. God is the most beautiful. I said, you know, your conceptions of God are very impersonal. There's no beauty. Right, so we've told Krishna now, in life or in death, I'm going to worship you, O enchanter of my heart. So then the next one, Esha Nanda Kumar, Ananda Kumar. Nanda Kumar, the son of Nandamar. So we're not just addressing him as Krishna and as the enemy of Mura, who gives out ignorance and the delighter of my heart, but as the Nanda Kumar. Kumar means a little boy. So you are the son of Nandamar. So generally, in religious systems, people talk to Krishna as the king of kings and the father. You know, like Handel's Messiah, Lord of Lord and king of kings, right? And you shall reign forever and ever. So here we're saying, oh no, you're the son of Nandamar. You're someone else's son. How can God be anyone's son? Can God be anyone's son? No, God is everyone's father. God is not anyone's son. We are all children of God. God cannot be my child. But in our Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding, we see that there's different moods of love with Krishna. And one mood of love is that Krishna is my beloved child. And we would say that this is a higher mood of love. When someone's your father, you go to them to beg for service, even when you're an adult, isn't it? We go to our parents, oh, please give me money. Please give me shelter. Even you may be 40, 50 years old, and you still expect your parents to just take care of you. Now, maybe when your parents are very old, you take care of them. But generally, we're thinking our parents are going to take care of us. Even if our parents are very old and we're taking care of them, we're still expecting they're going to give us an inheritance. We're not thinking we're going to give them we're going to be the opposite way. So that's our general mood with God as Father. That, what are you going to do for me? How are you going to maintain me? But when we think of God as our Son, then we're thinking, how can I serve you? How can I take care of you? There's a high degree of affection and intimacy there. And Krishna really likes being addressed by these names that put him in association with his devotees. So Nanda Kumar. This is going to induce Krishna to come. So please come. I cleaned my heart. I put this garland of flowers. I have the sandalwood, which I've collected with devotion and with affection. And I'm there in life or in death, worshiping you and offering prayers. And you have enchanted my heart, so you please come. Now, what will I do? I will greet you. Again, when you greet somebody, not only do you have a clean place for them and some paraphernalia here, but you're going to turn on the lights. When somebody comes, you turn on the lights, yes. You don't expect guests to come and all the lights are off. So one of the main ceremonies that we do in our worship, called arati, which we're going to do here very soon, the most important part of the arati ceremony is the lamp. If you don't have a lamp, you don't have an arati. I was once in a temple where when they would offer arati to Tulsi, they used just incense and flour. They didn't have any lamp. So Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, who since passed away, he was in that temple. And I asked him about it, and he says, well, strictly speaking, the most important component of arati is the lamp. It's a welcoming ceremony. So this welcoming ceremony is done with light. And light is very indicative of welcoming and of love. Krishna himself says that he's the light. He's the light of the sun, the moon, all the light, even the electric light in this room, is ultimately coming from the sun. Yes? Whatever is used to produce electricity is dependent on the sun. And that light is Krishna. This light in the room here, that is Krishna. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakura is saying, prema pradipe. Dipe means a light. Prema pradipe, I'm going to welcome you not with an ordinary flame. Or like when we have a light in our arti, we don't usually use an electric light. We usually use what we call a ghee lamp. So ghee is you take the cream of milk, you make it into butter, and then you heat the butter to remove the water and the proteins, and you're left with just the pure milk fat, which has an incredible flavorful aroma to it. And you use that. You don't even just use ordinary oil. And then you use pure cotton to make a wick that you saturate in this ghee, and that's what you light. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura is not going to have in his heart. So in his heart, he's put this garland, he's put this chandan, everything's very clean, and he's there in life or in death offering prayers and worship. But he also has a lamp there, but his lamp is not made of an ordinary light. His lamp is made of prema. His lamp is made of love. So even materially speaking, we talk about the light of love in your eyes, yes? There's poetry and love songs like that. Even ordinary discussion will say, you know, there was light in his eyes or light in her eyes. It was the light of love. And we've all experienced somebody looking at us in a loving and affectionate way. And in fact, our looking at someone is indeed full of light. Of course, ultimately, Krishna's eyes, one eye is the opening and closing of his eyelids, or the day and night in the Virat Rupa of Vamandev. His eyes are also compared to the sun and the moon. Krishna's Sudarshana is the sun, and it also means Krishna's vision, that our eyes receive light, but Krishna's eyes give out light. But even our body gives out some light because we're a little part of God. I read a story many years ago of a man who had as his job to capture and kill predator animals in the western part of the continental United States that were killing livestock. So he would be trapping coyotes and like that. And he said one time he took his 10-year-old son, and when they came upon an animal in a trap, the animal wasn't yet dead. It was dying, and the animal, I think it was a mountain lion, died right in front of them. And the boy turned to his father and said, why did the light go out of its eyes? At which point the father changed his profession and started protecting wildlife instead of killing it. but there is a light in our eyes. So it is that light of love that's being offered. Arati Tomar, in this Arati Tomar for you. So I am welcoming you, not just with an ordinary light. I'm not just flicking a switch and turning on a light. I'm not just even burning, you know, scented beeswax candles, and I'm not even just burning, I'm burning not even just ghee, but the light that's lighting up my heart is this light of love. So again, if we can just take a moment, and we have our temple and our heart that we've cleaned. We have there our garland of flowers waiting for Krishna. We have the sandalwood pole. And our temple is full of light, and that light is not an ordinary light. It's a light of love and affection. And in this temple, in our heart, through everything, the good and the bad, the mountains and the valleys, the storms and the sunny, beautiful days, everything, we are worshiping Krishna and offering prayers with love, and we meditate on him as the beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj, who is our delight and who has taken over our heart and mind. So far in this song, everything's very, very nice. But now in the next verse, Krishna doesn't come. So you know, sometimes you're waiting for somebody, you've prepared everything for them, and they don't come. And you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. There's a famous story in the Ramayana about this one tribal woman who became a devotee of Ramchandra. And her spiritual master, her guru, told her that one day Ram and Lakshman will personally come to see you. The Lord will personally come to your place. So her guru left this world, and she stayed waiting for Ram to come. So believing in the words of her guru, every day she would clean the ashram where she stayed, and every day she would gather flowers, and every day she would gather berries from the forest to be prepared. When is Ram going to come? When is Ram going to come? But of course, eventually he did come. So in this song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, but you're not coming. I've prepared my heart, it's filled with the light of love. And you notice in this verse, it says, Tomara virahe. If you look back at the frame, you say, Raha nisiti. Raha is to stay day and night. But here, there's another paper. And here you see, Tomara virahe. Tomara, you, virahe, V is not. So Raha, you please stay. Virahe, you're not staying. Girikari, and here is another name for Krishna. You find throughout this song, he's addressing Krishna in so many ways. Chittanandan, Sundara, Nandakumar, Girikari, you who lifted the mountain of Govardhan, you who can do the impossible. Why would you want to come and stay in my heart? But you can lift a mountain, but you're not coming. I'm cleaning it, I'm begging you to come. Through life and death, I'm meditating on you. I filled my heart with the light of love. I prepared everything for you, but still you're not coming. Still you're not coming. Still you're not coming. So what does the devotee do that Krishna is not coming? Krishna is not coming. Does he become angry at Krishna? No, I'm not going to worship him anymore. You're not coming. No, because already jivane marane, I'm going to worship you whatever, in life and in death. I already said that, but you know, Tukur's saying that there's no question of that. So when you don't show Krishna, what am I going to do? Nayana yamuna jale aviva. Nayana is my eyes. So from my eyes is coming the Yamuna. Yamuna is a very big river. It's a major river. The kind of river that you have to take a boat across, that an ordinary person is not going to be able to swim across. Something like, you know, the Mississippi. It's a big river. So from my eyes is coming the Yamuna. And I'm really crying. I'm not just like... But just torrents of tears. I don't know if any of us have ever cried like that, where the tears are just streaming and streaming. Jare anibare. Jadis flows, Anibar, incessantly without stopping. Just crying and crying and crying. And cry like a river. There's so much tears that I'm overwhelmed. And I just can't stop crying. So that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying. He said, because I prepared my heart for you, it's full of love, it's ready to receive you. I begged you, please come. Please accept this lamp of my love. Please accept this garland. Please accept this chanda. Please stay here day and night. Oh, Giridhari. Oh, Nanda Kumar. But you're not coming. You're not coming. So I'm simply crying, and I'm crying so much that it's like a river is flowing without stopping. It just keeps flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing without stopping. When will you come? All right, so here I am, sitting and just crying and crying and crying and crying and crying and begging you, Krishna, to please come. Vandana Gani. So Vandana, or here Vandana, Vandana means prayers also. So we have Navedam earlier, which means prayers. Vandana means prayers also. So previously, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, through the ups and downs in life, through life and death, I'm going to worship you and pray. Well, that's one thing. One thing is the external things that happen in life. The good and the bad, the difficult, the horrible, the fantastic, the life and the death. That's one thing, to remain steady in prayer and in worship. But this is a much deeper thing. Here Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, even if you're not manifest, even if you don't show up in my heart. Because one could say, well, I could remain steady in worshiping Krishna through the external ups and downs as long as I always felt Krishna in my heart. But no, Krishna's not even showing up in my heart. Vandana Gani, I am always going to be praising you. Not only prayers, but praising you, Tava again yours. Bhaju Jivana. For the rest of my life. So I'm simply going to sit here crying like the Jamuna and praising your glories and inviting you forever. Whenever you decide to come, Krishna Murari, Shri Krishna Murari. So this is the basic teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we feel this intense separation from Krishna. Most people in this world are very cavalier about being separate from God. Of course, no one is ultimately separate from God. But especially at the modern time, people are going through their life, oh yeah, I don't feel God in my heart, well, whatever. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, I don't see you manifest in my heart, therefore I will simply cry and go on praising you and go on loving you forever. Whenever you want to come, Shri Krishna Murari, Shri Krishna. So, would you like to sing it again?
Yes.
And if you sing it again, we can meditate on the moon. Mama, mana, mandire, mana,
I'm not afraid of the dark.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written many, many, many songs, and each of his songs is a very provides us with a very sweet and deep meditation. So today on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day, I would suggest that we each make a dedication to learning one of his songs, or a song that we already know, to singing it on a regular basis, and not just singing it officially, but really entering into the mood of the song. And of course, for those of us who come to have Bengali as our first language, probably most of us, that requires a little bit of work. And one time when I was in Mayapur Dham in Navadvip, we went to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, and there were a bunch of local women singing Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. And they're singing, of course, in their own language. And I was thinking, how sweet, you know, if we could sing these songs in English. So I know of one devotee who's taken all the songs and put them in English translations that you can sing to the same tune as we sing in Bengali. But it's also nice to sing originally Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bengali and enter into the meaning. And just even listening to the translations of his songs, there's people who've made recordings of Bhaktivinoda Sharanagati and Gitavali, and of course there's Gitamala. And they're really very, very deep. But they're deep in a way that we can easily access. They're not so esoteric that we like, what is this about? But we can take them and relate them to our own lives and enter into this mood of Bhaktivinoda. So that is what we would like to do today. Sometimes on this day, we talk about Bhaktivinoda Thakur in terms of his biography, how he was a magistrate under the British government in India, how he had many, many children, all of whom became devotees, how he helped establish the standards of the Jagannath Puri Temple, wrote 100 books, and so many things like that. So that's all certainly noteworthy, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is one of the prime exemplars in the relatively modern age as someone who was both a family man and totally devoted to Krishna. He wasn't, off in the Himalayas or something like that. He was working within society, he had a regular job and family, and that like that. So I can also recommend that when you read about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life, but I felt I wanted today to enter into the mood of one of his songs in that way. So we have just a few minutes, if anybody has any questions or comments. Arctic starts at 6:30. Yes?
What is Murari?
So Ari means the enemy of. Mura is the name of a very demoniac personality who is spreading ignorance throughout the universe, who is destroying knowledge. And so Krishna is the enemy of Mura. He's the enemy of those who spread ignorance. It's a very common name for Krishna. Any other questions? Comments, discussions? Yes.
Is there, would you expect that there's any particular reason that we would use certain names or titles of Krishna over others, like Giyapari, as opposed to something else? I mean, is there a connection between that name and the rest of the song?
I don't know specifically about Giyapari. I mean, if you see about Chittanandan and Manahari, so those are certainly very much in keeping with the whole mood of the song. You delight my mind and you steal my mind, because this is all about Krishna appearing in our mind, establishing our body as a temple and Krishna appearing in my mind. And Sundara, that you are very beautiful. Basically, he's saying, I'm in love with you and I want you to. This is very much a love song.
you know, I'm very much in love with you and I want you to stay here. And as we said, Nandakumar, that generally Krishna is addressed in terms of his devotees. So why Bhakti Vinod chose Nandakumar instead of, say, Radhika Raman or something for his song? I don't know. Okay, so it sounds like Artik is about to start. So thank you very much. All glories to Bhakti Vinod Thakur. All glories to Shiva Prabhupada.